They're trying to tell us something. They have figured out the formula for chaos.
When the clock strikes 8:30, babe, time to head for Chris's house. Will the sun make it to the next round?
Bono.
Pot of thunder. Let's pot tonight. Come on, baby, let's pot tonight.
Woo! Yes. Ah, Doc Gibbs and the Emerald Eye Band. Thank you, thank you, and welcome to Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by patreon.com/potofthunder. So many tiers, so many choices. Get on board. Get on the bandwagon now. Jump on the bandwagon now.
Get your wallet out and get on the bandwagon.
Before the bandwagon jumps on you.
That's right.
Welcome.
Run you over.
Welcome to the show. You know me.
It's A.L.B., he makes it sound so clean, the best podcast that money can buy. No time for goosing, he always be producing, he'll be producing, he'll be producing tonight.
Ooh.
He'll be producing tonight.
Producing.
Some big, big backup vocals there.
Tackling Sting. Jeez, that's ambitious.
Thank you, Nick.
You're welcome.
That's right. It's your buddy, Andy, America's little brother. As always, joined by this man. Here we go. He's going to do it. Everyone, hold on to your keys, your wallets. Here he comes. Nick Pollock, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
What a delight. Nice to see you dancing again.
Yeah.
It's been a couple weeks.
I ate two sandwiches before I came today.
So you didn't need to hunt.
So, no. Didn't need to hunt or gather.
Mm. Two sandwiches.
I did.
Were they the same sandwich?
Yes. There were still enough ingredients left over for a repeat.
So the sandwich wasn't already made. You had to go make the second one?
It was made.
Oh, it was made.
No, it was made at home.
But, right, but you made one, you ate it, and you said, you know what, I could go for another
there
one.
There was still bread sitting there.
So.
And everything else.
Then what were these sandwiches?
Just basically two BLTs.
Oh, yeah.
Fresh mozzarella.
I would have had two or three myself.
Little,
simply the best sandwich
agreed.
Of all time. I don't know about the mozzarella ad. I'm not against it, but it kind of goes against the whole initials thing.
Yeah, but if there's the option to put it on, I will. And then I always enjoy the, I don't know if you ever put balsamic on yours.
Oh, that's nice.
I try to do that when I can. Blackberry fig balsamic, anyone?
Playing fast and loose with the BLT formula.
Yeah, he is.
I'm not against it, but I'm also not for it at this point.
Blueberry fig.
You know Nick's always got to mix it up.
Yeah,
well,
does.
That's true. I mean, we come to expect that, but
yeah.
They call it a BLT for a reason.
Yeah. This is the man who put Spanish peanuts on his cheese pizza, a frozen pizza all the time when we were kids.
And then all of a sudden, California Pizza Kitchen downtown is doing stuff.
They finally
like
caught up to you.
And then,
to what you were doing on your Totino's party pizza in 1992.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Gotta break some Spanish peanuts in half and put them on there.
We gotta sick the formidable pot legal team on them. Get some money out from California Pizza Kitchen stealing Nick's ideas.
Yeah, who's in charge of that operation?
Well, we'll figure it out.
Shake him.
Yeah.
Shake him from the awning.
We'll get somebody on the horn in the morning.
Shake him from the balcony by their ankles. Get some money out of their
exactly
pockets.
Exactly right.
Cough drops, change, what have you. Ladies and gentlemen, two seats over to Nick's left. You want him. We got him.
Every day, yeah, yeah, I can have it.
Get out of my way. Yeah, fuck you.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast medium. Chris L. is in the house. Chris, and between you and Nick, we heard another voice.
We did.
It's the day after Mother's Day. My mom, Nick's mom, Mrs. Jones, is in the house.
Always be kind to your mama. Mama, she is your friend. Always be kind to your mama. On mama you can depend. Treat her right, treat her right, treat your mama right. Treat her right, treat her right, treat your mama right.
I think Andy knows what that's from. Treat her
right. I don't. It's ringing a bell, but I can't put my finger on it. But it's
very nice.
Good job, Nick.
The end part is I tried to incorporate the Mr. T Mama song, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with
treat,
that.
Was it called? Is it called Treat Your Mama Right or Treat Your Mother Right?
I thought it was Treat Your Mama Right.
Something like that. Yeah.
Well, what context was that released? In a television special or an A-team episode?
There's a
or
video.
What?
No, it's like a separate video.
Like a single.
Yeah, I think so.
And a video.
I'm not aware of that.
And then the main song from that is, I guess it's an old bluegrass song, but I know it from an episode of Carter Country.
So. Of course you do. Your whole life revolves around Carter Country since you discovered that show.
No one else has ever even heard of Carter Country.
Now, that I've heard of. I remember that when that was on TV.
Okay. Well,
so.
Teddy Burnside, Your Mayor by a Landslide, sings that song in the telethon episode.
Wow. Handle it.
Handle it, Roy.
Mm. Well, I'm guessing the Mr. T record came out by whoever was responsible for rapping Rodney. All those novelty records in the mid-'80s.
Maybe the Hulk Hogan songs came out of that camp. Who knows?
Could be. Yeah, all that stuff.
Well, if that's the market that you're cornering.
It's true.
That's about as good as it gets.
It works. Or it did, at least, at a certain point.
And it gave us the this year's Mama Jones theme song. Yeah. So it's worth it for that alone.
So happy Mother's Day and welcome to the show.
Yep.
Is there...
Good work, Nick.
Typical middle child overcompensating coming up with that theme song.
Yep.
He's like, I'm not sure if she likes me really, aww, so I'm going to come up with this elaborate theme song to finally get in her good graces over the years.
And hit her with some harmony backing vocals at the end, too.
Exactly.
It wasn't enough to go even farther. Do we talk about what's in the cooler yet, or is that for another time later? I don't know what the order of show rundown is here.
When do we get the human head out?
Yeah, let's wait. I'm not sure when to.
Or do you guys just want a little?
Well, hold on. Okay. We've got important work to do first. Mama Jones, I'm going to put this as delicately as I possibly can, but you're of somewhat advanced age, wouldn't you agree? Getting up there a little bit.
No, I don't think she's in.
I know. I hear that from my grandkids. Yes.
But you're the oldest person in the room. You got to be older than me. I hope you're older.
I am older than you.
You're getting up there. You know. So you're cognizant and sympathetic to health causes, staying healthy, being aware of things, just remain healthy so you can live as long as you possibly can.
Andy's 4.5-year-old. Told me to. She hopes I stay healthy so I can meet her children someday.
Well, see, there you go. From the mouths of babes,
I know,
as they say.
She said that to me. Isn't that funny?
Well, we have important work to do, which your youngest son seems to be opposed to, but I'm overriding him because this is bigger than him. This is bigger than me. It's all about keeping the world healthy so you can live as long as possible. So,
yes.
Hit it! Sabemos, Papa. Join me, Nick. Stroke stuff! Stroke stuff! Stroke stuff! Stroke stuff!
Oh, goodness.
All right. Hey, second week of Stroke Awareness Month, we've got fact number two, types of stroke. This is coming you from stroke.org. Not a porn site, the official...
Not a Billy Squire site?
It could be. Maybe they bought the URL from Billy Squire because he needed the money because his career was torpedoed by the unfortunate Rock Me Tonight video. But fact number two is types of stroke. And this is good. Here we go. It's similar to Pope stuff. There's words here I simply cannot pronounce, but I'm going to try it.
You may not be...
Familiar
with the common types of strokes that you can get.
Here they come.
Tell you. Let me clue you in.
Yep.
Ischemic stroke is caused by a clot. Hemorrhagic is caused by a rupture. And transient, ischemic attack, TIA, or warning stroke, is caused by a temporary blockage. So there you go. Three types of strokes.
So that's it.
Goodness.
All caused by different things.
So, block, rupture, basically.
Clot, rupture.
Clot, rupture, temporary blockage.
Yes.
How am I supposed to know what's going on in my body?
It doesn't matter. Be aware of it. That's all we're asking people to do.
Be aware of it beforehand, if possible.
Regale your family and coworkers tomorrow or later today with your knowledge of the three types of strokes. So... there we go.
All right.
I saw
Stroke Awareness Month, important work.
I saw that Randy Rhoads' brother Kelly had suffered a stroke recently.
I saw that,
and
too.
And they're asking for letters of encouragement to be sent to him, so I'm throwing that out there for the Pot of Thunder listeners. Send Kelly Rhoads some kind of encouragement.
How do we know where to send it? There's a
Blabbermouth article from a couple days ago that where there's an address you can send it to. Yeah. Somewhere out in Burbank.
Hmm. Yeah, go look it up and participate in Stroke Awareness Month by expressing your support for Kelly Rhoads.
All right, well, there. Some useful information for Stroke Awareness Month.
Damn right.
Now we know the types, the common types of strokes that you can get.
So just settle down.
Yeah.
Let me clue you in.
More information to come. We've got two more episodes for this month. So there you go.
All right.
Not going to cover everything in 1 week. It would spoil it.
People go too much.
People go to school for 8 years to learn all
they
this.
They do.
Yeah. It's true. We're just giving it away over here.
Yeah, and you don't have to pay us a loan back.
Yeah, the cost of a home, basically. Yeah,
exactly.
So, what's going on over there? Food rumbling and crumbling, and is that baked?
Yes, technically. I had to think for a second.
Who wants to eat dainties? Who wants to eat baked treats with me?
Now, there are three in here. Is it for me, Andy, and Mama?
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty cool how I figured that out.
That's good.
Oh, one. You want the pizza-shaped one, Mama?
Sure.
There you go.
Here, Nick.
No, that's okay. I had two sandwiches.
Yeah, he had two sandwiches. Plus, he piled on the... Did you go with fresh mozz on
I
that?
Did.
Jesus.
It was like three pieces on each sandwich.
God damn.
So I'm not messing
around. You wonder why you're all bound up all the time.
It'll get you, huh?
Jesus Christ, man.
Buffalo mozz.
So what we have here,
mm-hmm.
You know that saltine cracker toffee that people make that's so popular?
Never heard of it.
No? Basically, you just lay saltines out on a jelly roll pan, and you make hot toffee on the stove, pour it over, and throw it in the oven and bake it for a little bit.
Never heard of it. Saying this is a popular thing?
I think it kind of is, right? It's usually like got more of like a chocolate kind of thing on it. This has white chocolate with a cinnamon sugar topping. So it's sort of we had Cinco de Mayo recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sort of a churro take on
on
the saltine toffee.
Mm.
Delicious.
Mm.
It is very tasty.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Nick.
Thank you.
Nick's an honorary Mexican now. Good job.
I'll take it.
Nick's been welcomed. He's invited to the barbecue. Well, I guess that's more of the, in the black community that phrase is used, but Whatever the Mexican equivalent of that is.
You better fly right, though. Next, you bring your BLTs. They better have Chihuahua cheese on it. Mm-hmm. None of this Mott's.
Uh-oh. They don't go for that.
Get that Italian shit out of here.
Some pork belly instead of bacon or something like that.
Mm, see? You got it all figured out.
Yep.
Gonna be all right.
I can go Keen's crashing whenever I want to, and it's acceptable.
Yeah, you're allowed. Just show up. They'll hand you some, I don't know what. Something to
eat. Whatever it is, I'll eat it.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Like that lady that was at your house last year. We still don't know what the meat was.
It's a mystery.
But you ate it?
I ate, like, several of them.
Oh,
Someone told me it was goat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked the lady, and she said, no, it's beef. And I'm like, that's the same lady who I was told said it was goat earlier. Well,
she may have been wrong the first time, and then...
They're like, what are you telling people it's goat for?
Well, technically, wouldn't that be a form of beef?
Is it? I mean,
muscle tissue to eating?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, it's not like if somebody brought beef, what do you got there? Oh, it's cow. No, nobody mentions the animal.
What do you call goat meat, though?
Is it beef?
I don't know. I'm asking.
It sounds like it's closer to mutton, but it's not.
I think you just
say... Oh, okay, so that makes it better.
I don't know.
It's mutton.
Isn't mutton
yuck?
Mutton's cheap, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what goat meat is called.
It's called goat meat.
Yeah.
I swear.
Is it?
I just looked up goat beef. It says the common name for goat meat is simply, quote-unquote, goat meat.
Okay.
So there you go.
Poor goats.
Yeah.
And then while meat from young goats, can be called kid meat. Oh. What the hell?
Jesus. Well, that's what they call little goat, right?
It was
right?
pretty popular on Epstein Island, that particular dish.
How would you like your kid meat prepared?
Yeah.
So...
What's I wouldn't want to eat that.
That's good.
No. Most normal people would not eat that form of kid meat.
Yeah.
Come up with a better, different name. That name ain't working.
Yeah.
I can't eat meat that I've not eaten before.
You're not going for new meats?
No.
No goats. No.
Not even deer.
Well, I'm surprised Nick ate it. He doesn't eat hamburgers or hot dogs. So
but he
just
eats
wolfed.
All the weird stuff.
Yeah. Lion.
Lion. Yeah.
Nick
an
ate
odd individual your son is. You know this.
Strange fella. So are we going to get into what's over there, or does that come into play later? I don't know. Yeah. I'm not eager to.
For those who can't
before
see.
Before the song or after the song?
Mama Jones has come rolling in here with an igloo. Those things with the top that just folds over the side.
Yeah.
Could fit a human head in there.
Yeah. And you're right. You said when she came in, is that a human organ? That's how they transfer those on.
Oh, it is.
I know.
Yeah.
They do just a cooler, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think there'd be something else, but no. Yeah. Cooler with some ice bags. That's all you need.
I think we're still okay. It'll be all right.
All right. We can wait on that. We can get to business first, and then we'll have a little party later.
So, but whatever's in there is, in fact, cooling. It's not just something you had on hand to transfer or something.
Is there ice in there?
There's ice in there. It's cooling.
Or is it just in there?
Or you don't want to say.
There's one of those.
You got to talk into the mic.
There's one of those, things that you could keep reusing. It's like freezes the water.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
But a cooling device is in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's something that's...
I can only fit one because there's too much other stuff in there.
Oh, my goodness.
Good Christ.
So much food.
Oh.
Okay.
So it requires refrigeration,
is what we're saying.
Yes.
So much food.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow. So it requires refrigeration.
Correct. Yes.
So much food.
Oh. How is this happening?
Okay.
So it requires
that was so strange.
We had a weird loop going on.
That was really... It was the first time that's ever happened. I don't know. Okay, anyway.
Whatever.
It's the head in the cooler, Tom.
It's repeating what we're saying.
Yeah. The ventriloquist dummy that's
right.
in there.
That's right.
So, Nick told me he's going to choose something off the list that is appropriate for... our guest, and for this week being the day after Mother's Day. Mother's Day still fresh. So, is there anything you want to say before we
No.
Introduce the
Not
song?
Really. I think good. We can I think we can unveil it.
How many times was this on the list? Once?
Twice.
Okay. Ooh. And how many of their last names is Caruso?
Yeah. I think none.
Okay.
Yeah, please let them
I did think of Caruso when you...
I think Andy will be able to verify in just a moment after I tell him what it is.
Okay, well, let's find out. Let's turn the microphone over to the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho.
All right, Harold. This one's called
25 or 6 to 4.
Off of
Chicago 2.
By the band
Chicago.
Ow! Oh,
that is perfect for me.
With a Peter Cetera lead vocal. I know that he's your favorite of the vocalists.
Chris doesn't like him, does he?
Well, I liked him before he had his testicles severed from his body somewhere in the late 70s. Well, up to that point, he was fine.
This is recorded in 69.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
So as I recall, I think you've dropped information, Mama Jones, that you saw Chicago in concert, and that's why this was picked.
Yeah,
is that the reason, Nick?
I've always and it's always been
your
music.
Yeah, your favorite band, right?
Yeah.
And you saw them. What year would you say? Oh, did you say like 72, possibly
maybe,
the first time?
Maybe 72. And then when did I see him again? Oh, what was that? The
90s? Well, when I went with you, yeah, it was like 95.
Poor Nick had to go with my sister. And
I enjoyed it.
With Cetera, ballless Cetera in the band and the second one.
Was he? I think he was gone. He left in the 80s, right?
I think he still did his solo career. He was still in the band, but I think right around that time he probably left. So
yeah, I mean, he wasn't there, I don't believe.
Excuse me.
But you would have known it by the lack of balls on stage. So did you notice any lack of balls on stage, Nick? Think back.
No, huge balls on stage from what I remember. I forget the name of the, was it the trombone player who was standing there flexing at the end of the stage?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Remember Auntie, she was...
Our aunt ran down to the, with some
him.
Of the other women, ran down to the stage.
Oh really?
Wow. Yeah, whipped into a frenzy.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was just standing there flexing for a while when he
wasn't
playing.
Yeah, he's the brother of the guy that was in, what was that show?
Carter Country?
Yes. I can't think of it.
I'll try to...
It's the brother of someone who was on TV.
Yes.
Okay. I'll try to see if I can find...
Danny Seraphine? No, that was the drummer.
No, Pankow? John Pankow was his brother from Mad About You?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I did not know that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm here for, to give you some...
Yeah, well, we appreciate that.
What album was this on, Nick?
Well, okay, so
Chicago 2.
It's called the album's actually, I think, officially called Chicago, but it says retroactively called Chicago 2 because the band name went from Chicago Transit Authority to Chicago, and I guess I don't know. I don't know exactly why retroactively it's Chicago 2.
Okay,
but it might officially just be called Chicago.
Okay. Cool. All right, I've got it here.
So you said the first time you saw them was in 72, correct?
Could have been, yeah.
So you saw them when Terry Kath was still in the band, the guitarist, before he blew his head off in 1970.
Oh, really? Yeah, I think for sure you did, because that was late 70s when that happened.
Yeah. Game of Russian Roulette, he was on.
One of those guys, huh?
Yeah, but he's a...
Well, not many of those guys.
He's a legend, and you got to see him live.
Apparently, Jimi Hendrix's favorite guitar player is...
him and Billy Gibbons.
Billy Gibbons, yes.
That's interesting. Was that based on Chicago, or was that... Did Terry Kath do other stuff before Chicago?
He was just in... wait, what?
My mom just did the cinnamon challenge.
Cinnamon is
whatever
in
that's called.
And I can't quit.
Way to go, Nick. Here, I can do this for you.
She's thinking about the trombone player getting worked up into
She's
a
thinking
frenzy
probably
right
about how foggy it was at that concert. She's still coughing.
That's all right.
Or you said the Deep Purple concert was like
I
that.
Here, you can have this.
Sorry, no, sorry okay. about that.
That's
fine.
You said
you're not having a stroke, are you?
God, I hope not. Wait, the one guy I listened to, one of the podcasts, he always says cholera, holera. Oh.
Who's that?
Who?
Mark Levin.
Does he say that?
Yeah, he coughs a lot, and he'll say cholera.
Okay,
I thought he was Polish.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you. No, if I go like this, then maybe I'll get another sip.
Okay, sure. No problem.
I'm not sick. It's just the cinnamon.
She starts gesturing towards her own throat, pass the Coke over.
That means be quiet.
That means, yeah,
sorry,
exactly.
Guys.
No, that's fine.
You know, that trombone player will whip you into a frenzy. You can't breathe. Blame it on the cinnamon, but it's actually the trombone
That's
player.
Right. That was fun, though. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like it was fun for you, for Auntie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a dry seat in the house, as they say.
He was driving the ladies a little bit crazy.
Yeah, there's something about those guys. Like, a fairly recent Chicago performance on soundstage, both the drummer and the new lead guitarist just sleeveless shirts. Up
he
there,
did that.
You
Didn't
know.
He have a tank top on?
I think he had
with the muscles.
Yeah, and he was holding the trombone in one hand and just kind of standing there flexing the other on,
making stroking gestures with it. You know, provocative moves on stage. Because honest, how much tail do trombone players get generally?
I have no idea.
Zero.
I was going to say, I don't
That's
think they have a reputation.
Like
the Dorsey brothers? I don't know.
The onus is on them to get in the gym, tone up those arms, and make provocative gestures at the crowd. And suddenly people's aunts are bum-rushing the stage. Looks like an R. Kelly at the Apollo performance, basically.
Okay. So this is on the list twice, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I'll pull it up and see what kind of comments we have here, unless you have it in front of you.
I don't. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Not them. Not them. Cheap Trick. Cheech and Chong. There we go. Okay, so this was submitted by Rob Needham and Mark Givitz. Rob says, let's see... probably one of the first riffs that young guitar players learn. I first heard about this when we played it in marching band, but then discovered my dad's vinyl version in the basement. Fell in love with the driving pace and the horns. Anytime horns come into play, you're in for a good time. All right.
I'll go with that.
I won't disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does Mark Givitz and Mark Takeitz away have to say?
He says, great rocking song from the early 70s, but what the hell is it about? Maybe you guys can figure it out.
We'll do our best.
I think it's been identified what the title means. I don't know offhand, but we could find it, I'm sure. But,
yeah, it's in the Wikipedia page, actually. But
it turns out it's not early 70s, it's late 60s, right?
As far as the recording of it, it says it was 69, yeah.
Well, when was it released?
The album was released in January of 70.
Oh, okay. It doesn't get earlier 70s than that.
Yeah.
First month, the first year.
Now, would you say that, because I'm seeing that... the genre of at least Chicago in this era, there's a combination of rock, jazz fusion, and progressive rock. Would you say probably the most accessible musical act to have the prog rock label attached to it? I would think so.
It's interesting. Who else would be in that
conversation? Well, Yes got started around late 60s, early 70s. I don't know how accessible they were early on, but that would be the only other thing I can think of. The only other band I can think of that was like big time with the horns would be Blood, Sweat, and Tears. They got started in the late 60s, so they were of that ilk as well. Other than that, I think you're right that they were sort of the...
But you're saying any time period, though, right?
Yeah, basically. Like I'm saying...
Who's a prog band that's more successful commercially?
Well, here's the thing. I think that prog label was incorrect when you're labeling it on Chicago. Just because they had, for the time, unconventional instrumentation doesn't make them... what progressive rock became, which was the Yes, the Genesis, the King Crimson... You know, really intricate, not necessarily accessible songs. I don't put Chicago under that blanket. No.
I mean, I know they've got some pretty complicated arrangements over there.
Well, so does James Brown. He's not progressive.
Well, that's true.
I mean, it's just some some dickhead musical journalist threw that label out on them, and for some reason it stuck. It doesn't apply to them, in my opinion. I mean, what's next? Are they a polka band because they've got horns? I mean, get out of here. They're a rock band with horns.
Yeah.
And the closest comparison, like I said, it would be Blood, Sweat, and Tears that I can think of.
Okay. Right.
Any comment on that, Mama Jones? What's your thought on Chicago's a progressive rock band?
See, I don't know anything about that.
But on their earlier albums, were there one, like, because they're, you know, you've got your Peter Cetera songs like this, and some of the more ballady love song kind of stuff. But then you had the other stuff. You had, like, the very first song on their, I think it's the first song on the first album that Terry Kath wrote, was Introduction, which I believe is a fairly complicated instrumental.
Mm.
But so if there was something like that, would you kind of skip it? Like, or
who?
My mom.
Oh,
your mom. Would you, like, when you're listening to a Chicago record, you just kind of, like, throw it on and you're good with whatever? Or were you just kind of looking for, like...
There's certain ones I would like.
Yeah, so I'd say...
So it's only instrumental, no singing?
No, not necessarily, but in that case, that particular song, that song, I think... You could probably label it as progressive rock.
Well, but along the same lines, you could label early Santana as progressive rock because they took, you know, stretched things out and got improvisational. You know, Grateful Dead, you could say the same thing. It's just it doesn't apply to them.
Does it have to be predetermined though to be progressive? Because my understanding is the Dead would just kind of jam and let things happen.
Well, but they also had song structures and stuff like that. But they were never labeled progressive rock. Progressive rock is generally means like more musically sophisticated, longer songs, more ambitious with like being not necessarily complicated for complicated's sake, but that did play into it.
Not designed to be a pop crafted song,
right? That would be Chicago had pop hits from the start.
Oh yeah, but I'm just the prog description. I would say remove it from Chicago. Just saying, I think the intention with a progressive band is not to craft a 3-minute pop song.
Right, but you still, bands like Yes and Emerson, Lake, and Palmer had FM radio hits.
They figured it out,
they figured it out.
Try to get a couple in there.
You know, I would definitely apply that label to them versus Chicago.
Yeah, well, I think Jackie in our Patreon live chat figured it out. I don't think there needs to be any further discussion. She says, they can't be prog. Women go to their shows.
Well, that's...
See, she's totally right.
That's
about
an
that.
Ingredient.
But here's... Yeah, so wrong. Here's the other interesting thing. We're going off on a little bit of a tangent, but if you look back on the prior to Zeppelin or somewhere in the 70s, either before Zeppelin or... Zeppelin pretty much dominated the 70s, but one of the top... A couple of the top grossing concert acts of the 70s were Yes and ELP.
Yeah. I mean,
that's not all dudes filling up an 80,000 seat football arena. I mean, women were going to that. They didn't like it, I'm sure, but they were looking for something to do. And then, you know, disco came in, and now, you know, music that actually appeals to women is what's popular these days. I mean, a band like Yes, Dream Theater is not headlining Soldier Field like Yes and ELP did in the 70s. Well,
that was going on then, huh? I didn't realize
they were
that.
Huge, huge concert draws.
Mm. Well, women wanted to see Yes because of the figure skating. I think that was the main thing when they put on their ambitious, disastrous Icecapade.
Did they do that?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Yeah, there was some.
They paired with ice skating?
No, I don't. Well, they had, it was part of the show. They actually had people ice skating during the show.
Yeah, well, Creed took that to the ultimate level at the halftime show.
Super Bowl half,
But no, I don't think that's an accurate label to apply to them. So
okay,
all right. Well,
we're sorry.
If you disagree with us.
Seriously, people just throw labels around because they don't know how to describe something. You're not going to rubber stamp that horseshit. It's not accurate.
Yeah, I agree with you. And not just in this case, but in so many cases, people just need something to call a group. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not always representative of what you're talking about.
It's not.
Well, is there anything else we want to say about the song before we press play here?
No, I mean, do you have anything, Mom, before we start?
When is the Pope stuff coming?
Oh, we're not doing that this month. It's taken over
it's
by
just stroke stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, if there's any involuntary farting on the couch, raise your hand. Someone, flag me down and I'll call an ambulance.
Well, if you see me reaching for my phone and moving it toward my backside, get ready.
Because natural reaction is to record it, not to call 911.
It was recorded with intent.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'll say one thing about the song since Jackie's on the line. Her God's Green Day pretty much stole this riff for Brain Stew.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
The chord progression, anyway. So listen to the cops are coming.
I know.
Already.
They're going to get Green Day.
They're looking for that head in the cooler over there.
Oh, boy.
Someone's been decapitated. Monster.
So I guess just real quick before we started, this single was released June of 1970. March of 1970, we had Terry Kath on lead vocal for Make Me Smile. I know you know that one, right?
Talking
right?
to me?
You remember Make Me Smile, that song?
Oh, you got to remember that. It's a top song.
You talking to me? Or
yeah, you.
I don't know.
If you heard it, probably.
I don't know a lot of the names. If I hear it, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine you.
You would know it, yeah.
Na,
it's one of their
na,
top
na,
songs.
Na.
All right, to stop singing.
Na, 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 na.
You would know it
the
if you heard
chorus.
It. Yeah.
Huge chorus.
Very big.
That's what I'm saying. They had hit pop singles. And yeah, they were a little more ambitious with the music, but they're not progressive rock. Not at all.
Hmm. I had a friend who was very into Peter Cetera's solo work. Which I'm laughing because it's just weird that, you know, a boy in his late teens, early 20s, around the turn of the millennium, was into Peter Cetera's solo work, but it happened.
Well, okay. You know, there are gay people in the world, and that's the music they gravitate to, and that's nothing wrong with that.
Well, okay. I don't know if that's the case.
Well, you do know
music.
Because he liked Peter Cetera's solo material.
Yeah.
He's homosexual.
That's the only way that works.
It is.
Okay. All right.
No straight men like Peter Cetera solo. It's not possible.
I can't say I've heard any of it. Maybe I have, and I'm not familiar.
You don't
familiar.
Want to. Don't go out of your way. It's just completely emasculated, pandering horseshit.
Okay.
And it was headed that way in Chicago with If You Leave Me Now. Are you familiar with that
yes.
song? So you like that song,
I like
right?
that song.
It's pandering crap for women.
I like it.
Another reason why they're not progressive. The progressive bands never did that.
You sing Saturday in the Park, too, right?
I don't think that's...
I'm just saying, but that's a happy-go-lucky kind of a...
Yeah, but it's not...
Poppy song.
It's not... It's not completely pandering to women and sacrifice, emasculating yourself for money and attention from women.
Hmm. Well,
that's not Cetera on lead vocals on that one.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Who's saying that one?
Who else?
I think it might be the buffed out trombone guy.
Goodness.
So I don't know that much.
Whipping aunties into frenzies and bum rush the stage.
How many people in Chicago sang lead vocals? I have no idea.
Pretty much everybody.
Really? It was one of those bands where...
Seemed like it.
Yeah.
They would take a song, like, you know, on an album, on any given album, is there like four or five different lead singers?
Oh, you know, it's... well, he shares lead vocal duties on it. Robert Lamb, who's still with the band, the pianist.
Okay, yeah, they do trade off.
Yeah.
Vocals, but yeah, it's not a full-on Cetera joke.
No, it's not.
Because if it was, he would have talked about, you know, spreading out a picnic basket and gazing into your eyes and and telling you how much I love you and all this other horse shit that nobody wants to listen to. That's basically your Peter Cetera solo career. Garbage. hard for me to say I'm sorry. Released under the Chicago name.
It's one of those where garbage. It's like a solo song. It's
terrible.
All right, well, let's get into
it. You're the inspiration.
I know that one.
Okay, of course you like it.
Just You and Me, is that one of them? Or is that lyrics?
No, that's a Cetera joint. That one is in the wheelhouse of If You Leave Me Now.
Okay,
which is,
I like
yeah.
that.
Which is borderline acceptable, but indication of danger and garbage to come, and that's exactly what happened.
All right, well, let's take a quick commercial break and let's get into 25 or 6 to 4. Any minute now.
Something I guess I never really noticed before is that little that must have been Terry Kath on there during the intro there.
What was it?
There was like a little, almost like a scratch, like just like maybe like a palm muting kind of a thing.
Well, yeah, he's probably strumming.
Yeah, but at first. Listen, I was thinking, is that some sort of like ghost notes on the snare drum or something like that?
But I think it's
in unison with the drums. But it's I want to say there's some it's really cool little guitar thing happening there.
Well, it's like the second snare hits come in just a little bit late behind the beat, which has always been I always thought that was cool. You know, it's just like it's not a straight 4/4 beat. He just mixes up that second snare hit. I always thought that was added to it. Simple riff along the lines of, Smoke on the Water. Yeah, it's something that could be played by a beginner, but, this is, as we'll hear as we get into the song, it's pretty advanced stuff, but doesn't mean they're above writing a simple riff that's got a good hook to it, and that's what we have here.
And then once those horns come in, it's pretty unmistakable who the band is that you're hearing.
Yeah. Signature.
Very
Chicago.
Signature. Like I Tower of Power is probably the closest that I could think of to having a sound similar to that. But Chicago has it where once you hear it, this is a Chicago song.
Like Blood, Sweat, and Tears have the horn section, but it doesn't sound anything like this. So you would never confuse the two.
A big trombone flex right there,
which you didn't really hear in most music up to that point. Was there a trombone in James Brown's horn section? It probably was.
I would say yes, but I couldn't tell you who it was or anything.
No, but I'm just saying that that's the only instrument where you can get that sliding in and out of notes like that.
Yeah. Real active right foot on that drummer. My goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Seraphine, right?
Busy fella on the right foot.
I think so. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. He's just driving the whole thing along. That's one of the things that made this a classic rock staple. It's just got the energy and the, one of those songs where you listen to it while you're driving. You find yourself depressing the gas pedal a little bit more than you normally would.
Where in the Chicago area is this band from?
Does anyone remember? I know Cetera is from
Boys Town.
Here we go.
North Halsted, Belmont area.
I was waiting.
He's from Morgan Park.
So Oregon Park. Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's where that igloo is going to be ending up here.
Yeah.
Which I guess is not too far from like Blue Island.
Oh.
That area. I believe they're all from around here.
Yeah, that's on our side of the city.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know where they were from in terms of north, south, what suburb, whatever.
Yeah.
I just remember when I first moved to Chicago and I got my job at Guitar Center and I lived up in Logan Square, I would have to take the Fullerton bus to the Red Line at Fullerton, take that north to Belmont. And right under that L stop is that hot dog stand. I can't remember the name of it, but Chicago's manager owned that hot dog stand. And the whole place was decked out with Chicago, like gold records, platinum records.
That's an interesting thing to do with your money, to open a hot dog
stand. Well, he might have had it before.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't know what the sequence was, but I just remember, you know.
I'm not mad at him for it either.
No.
I'm just
one of the first things that I. It struck me about the city of Chicago is like the Chicago band's manager owns this hot dog joint. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why I threw that in there.
That's interesting.
I always think of Chicago. I always associated with that. And then I was like, well, these guys, they've got to be from the DePaul area, right? Or who knows? But I don't know. Probably all
there
from
was
the suburbs.
There was something about DePaul. One of the members was like in a fraternity there.
Mm.
I just saw it a little bit ago. So, yeah, I think you're right.
There you go.
Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
Yeah, exactly.
And what was the guy's name? Robert Lamb.
It was.
Yeah.
There you go.
He was a tri-lamb.
Bring a pot close by us. Sitting cross-legged on the floor.
That little when it slowed down a little bit there, that even though it really doesn't, like, it's not very staccato or anything like that, but I've always gotten like a reggae feel from that, from once the two line chorus kicks in,
because
it's almost like a half speed kind of a thing, and there's just like a groove to it, like it's just kind of laying back like that, and it almost, like, some of the guitar playing in there, it had like a sort of a country thing going on there for a second. There
was a little descending.
Some country
licks
leads
that he did. Yeah. And he played, it was known for playing a Telecaster, which is, you know, has that country twang sound to it.
Like Waylon played.
Yeah. Yeah. It had a Blackhawks logo on it. He had a bunch of bike reflectors on it. Stuck to the top of it, and then the upper left horn, he had a Blackhawks logo. I always remember that about his guitar. So now that we've heard the chorus, what does 25 or 6 to 4 mean, Nick?
It seems fairly unremarkable, but compared to some of the, you know, because you have songs where people don't know what it means, and of course they think it's about drugs immediately.
That was always the word. That was kind of, you know, similar to the whole ass and wiener thing with the root beer. So you know what 25 or 6 to 4 means, right? No, what does it mean? It's about drugs.
No,
and then they just leave it at that. It's like, drugs. Oh, okay.
Always.
And then it picks up momentum and everybody thinks it's about drugs.
And you don't want to question it because then you don't sound cool.
Exactly.
You don't want to say, what do you mean? What part of drugs are we talking about?
That's when you just go, oh, far out, man.
That's like the Louie explanation. Like, it must be obscene. We can't understand what he's
exactly.
saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's not about that. It was, however, banned in Singapore. Because of the assumption that it was about drugs. But according to Lamb, it's just about trying to write a song in the middle of the night, that it was either 25 or 26 minutes before 4 a.m. And he just kind of phrased it 25 or 6 to 4.
So it's like 25 or 6.
Yeah.
25 or 26.
Either 25 or 26 till 4 o'clock. Yeah.
So that's he would be upright trying
that
to
he's up. He's up at that hour trying to write a song. And if you look at the lyrics, it makes sense that it's just about, it seems to be about someone with writer's block.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, and the next line we're going to hear is staring blindly into space.
Hmm. Yeah, I did not know that.
So it really just sounds like a song about writing a song.
Mm. There you go.
It's fun.
While high on all kinds of substances. No.
Yeah, you know they're high, right?
Because it's not a cool song.
You know, nobody wrote songs unless they were stoned out of their minds back then. It just didn't happen. You know that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, far out, man. Yeah.
Yes,
right on, dude. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we talked about this last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but that's also all these tidbits and anecdotes were from a time where you couldn't really debate because there's no actual answer that you could find unless you heard it from someone in the band.
Music magazine.
Or it was in a magazine or something. Yeah. But like, you know, the information wasn't as easy to find. So someone could just say, this is about this.
Yeah.
I heard it from someone who knows them.
There's still a large amount of bullshit on the internet. So that doesn't really necessarily solve the problem, but you can drill down something into something a little more than you would normally would have back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, like, we're talking about 1970 here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the year the Beatles broke up. The kings of people having conspiracy theories about what their songs mean.
Mm.
But I'm thinking, like, musically speaking, is there any, like, has anybody ever heard, is there something to, like, you've got bands like this coming out, and musically speaking, I don't think the Beatles can keep up with a band doing something like this. Did, like, you wonder, was there something where they broke up because of that? Like, they're like, we need to hire, like, our own ringer musicians. So well, we can keep up with what these other guys are doing.
They brought in the likes of Billy Preston and stuff.
They did, but it was still like very sparse and very, very slow by comparison.
And then you've got
bands doing stuff like this. Like, can they really compete with what was coming out at that time?
That might have factored into it. I mean, the whole Woodstock scene and the Who and stuff, it just wasn't their thing. But I just think it was just massive egos and other things that broke up the Beatles. But it might have factored into it to some degree.
They made the right decision. Didn't stick around too long and ruin it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the decision is what it was, and that's...
Well, they're still the biggest band on Earth, so...
Yeah, well, in some people's opinion.
I didn't say best, I said biggest. I feel like they're held in the highest regard by music media, at least. How's that?
Well, sure, there's no question.
To this day, it's not something that's faded.
Mom, did you listen to the Beatles when they were...
I did a little bit, but I wasn't...
No,
I can't say that I'm a big fan.
You weren't squealing when you saw them on TV.
No,
you weren't bum rushing the stage like Auntie when the trombone player in Chicago.
Well, I mean, I thought, you know, at first I liked some of their stuff, but I don't listen to any of their stuff. I'm not a big Beatles fan.
Now, good for you.
Did they get to? Yeah. Were you? I remember seeing a thing where. When did Strawberry Fields come out? Like 67?
67.
That people, a lot of the people who were fans, like the younger teenagers and stuff, were like, yeah, this is weird.
Hmm.
I don't like them anymore. Do you remember at a certain point, like, they started to get weird? Did that come on your radar by any chance? Like, they weren't just kind of like writing pop songs, but they're like, they're being kind of weird.
Do they do that submarine song?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
No?
No.
See, that was pre-drugs, too.
Was it?
That was in 66, I think. Mm-hmm. Good for you, Mama Jones. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. The Beatles, it sounds crazy to say, but they've not aged well for me at all. I can't think of a scenario where I would actively seek out a Beatles song to listen to
me
at this
neither.
Stage of my life. Rolling Stones, I'll listen to it all day long.
Yeah.
But the Beatles? No.
Couldn't think of a scenario where, yeah, I want to list some Beatles right now. It will never happen. It's not going to happen.
Not just happening.
I agree.
And I was way into it when I was a kid, but it just hasn't aged well for me. Sounds crazy to say, but it's the truth.
Yeah. Nick, you listen to much Beatles anymore? No?
I don't listen to them as much, but I don't know. I mean, I still have an enthusiasm for a handful of songs, at least, where I would, if it occurs to me, I'll probably go, you know, look it up and put it on. I don't know. I guess it's there are certain bands, and they're definitely one of them, where there's so much mythology about it that it gets exhausting after a while.
Yeah.
It's like, how much attention do they need? Like, they're one of those bands where every word that's ever been uttered by any of the four members has been documented.
Oh, yeah.
and analyzed, and, you know, it's just too much. It's just too much. There are some bands where there's just an overexposure, and there's this mythology that is just, it's over the top, and it gets tiresome. But musically speaking, there's quite a bit that I enjoy.
Yeah, but, I mean, strictly musically, the arrangements, the way they're recorded and stuff, all legendary, all groundbreaking. Nobody's saying anything different about it. It's just like, I just don't need to listen to it anymore. I mean, I don't know how much more plainly I can put it.
So. Yeah, I was listening to an episode of the Conan O'Brien podcast just a couple days ago, and he was talking to Brian Setzer.
Oh, okay.
And I forgot which guy brought it up, but one of them brought up the fact that George Harrison came to America the year before the Beatles came to America. And I'm like, why would anyone know that? they're having this conversation about, like, oh, how crazy, because he was here and he was just a guy visiting, and then the next year he was like part of the biggest thing in the world. But they were like talking about it, like, why do you know about this guy's family vacation from the year before? And they're like, oh, there should be a documentary about it. Wouldn't that be amazing? I'm like, man, enough with the Beatles. Yeah, we don't need, like, kind of what you said, everything that they've ever done has been overanalyzed.
But I mean, and granted, I know that for the first however many years of this podcast, we focused on another band. In which that's also the case. It's pretty extreme.
No, it is. I was going to say,
I'm just saying.
And we were glad when it's over, when it was over, believe me.
But Kiss fans are right up there with Beatles fans obsession with minutiae. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but again, after a while, it can be a bit much, and you just need to step away.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have a hard time being that big of a fan of anything where every minute is...
I don't even know what
The internet ruins it. If you like something, because people who are gigantic, obsessed fans get into your orbit somehow, and you're like, man, you're ruining it for me.
It is. It's true.
I was the biggest Kiss fan I knew.
Yeah, and then you
realized... And I know nothing.
Yeah, you realized you were like in the middle somewhere, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to get back to the song.
Yeah, we do. It's a long one, right?
That's pretty long. I don't know how long.
It's like under 5 minutes.
What, you don't have the time?
4:58.
Really? I thought it was longer than that.
No, 4:58.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it. I just played a little air guitar because it's just that bend he does. I think every time I've ever heard that in my life, since the first time I've played air guitar to that. I don't know. I just like the way he did that.
Blindly into space. Getting up to splash my face. Wanting just to stay.
So yeah, there's that, which we stopped at just before Kath starts shredding here. The prototypical shredder. I'll get into that a little bit more. But yeah, that kind of country turnaround that he does there that Nick pointed out. So the band, the Birds, were out at the same time, but they were morphing into like a country rock band. Like the Flying Burrito Brothers came out of them, and like Poco, and then transformed into Eagles, that whole lineage there. So I think maybe he was inspired by that. I don't know.
But, yeah, could be.
That sort of flavor was coming into music via the Birds, who, you know, came on the scene as like the peace and love psychedelic band and stuff, but they were, you know, had a lot more sophistication going on there, Clarence White and stuff, and infusing a kind of a country hillbilly music element to it. So maybe he was influenced by that, because a lot of these bands, they were stealing from each other in real time. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
I think it was Hendrix got an advanced copy of Sunshine of Your Love by Cream, and he played it on stage before it was actually released.
That's
and the
crazy.
Guy in Clapton was in the crowd. It's He's like, how the hell did this happen? But he went up there and played it before Cream's version actually came out and stuff. And so they were all like cognizant of what each other was doing and just influenced by each other. I mean, I think he meant it as an act of reverence, but there's a rumor that happened.
Well, he did that with Sgt. Pepper too.
He did that too. Yeah. Yes.
Which I don't know if you've ever seen the Andre 3000, the clip when he played Hendrix in that movie. It's pretty good. There's a clip where they reenact that.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I would recommend that.
And they actually had the right music in it, like real music?
They had the Hendrix live version
on
there, yeah.
Something happened there, because when I heard that was being made, I was like, oh, okay, Andre 3000 is going to be a massive star, like a crossover star, huge actor. He must have been bad in it. What happened?
I don't
Why
know.
Would the Jimi Hendrix movie starring a white-hot Andre 3000 in the music world?
Yeah, I didn't even realize it. I knew there was talk of him doing it. I didn't realize it actually ever came out.
Something happened.
I only saw that scene, but I thought I was into it when I watched that part. So I don't know. I don't know about the rest of it.
Somebody responsible didn't do what they were supposed to do to make more people aware of it.
Yeah, probably just a promotion thing.
It's crazy, because it's like,
that's what wins Oscars, right?
I mean, you
would think, yeah.
You just act like somebody who already existed.
Act like somebody who already existed and be one of the featured guests on Epstein Island.
And then you win
too.
The Oscars,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Which kind of bothers me a little bit.
What, people having sex with children?
No, that...
What do you mean?
No, I'm talking about the Oscar commentary.
Okay. People visiting Epstein Island, that bothers me a little bit.
Yeah. That bugs me.
Something about that just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I don't know.
Okay.
You can't put it into words, but...
So you're saying that it has... The fact that to win an award, there has to be backs being scratched
that
or whatever?
No, that's just that there are so many people who win simply for doing an impression of somebody who already exists.
Yeah,
instead
no,
of developing a totally different character.
I'm with you there. To me, that's like... that's more play acting than actually acting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... Either both ways that you're transforming yourself into somebody else, but I'm with you on that. It's like the mannerisms and everything are handed to you on a silver platter. You just got to mimic it.
But not that this is an Oscar-winning actor, but I heard Dana Carvey say that the difference with characters he would come up with between an impression and a character was that people didn't know who he was doing an impression of for the original characters. It was just someone from his life that he was doing. So maybe that's part of it too. But yeah, when, like you said, if it's someone everybody knows and they do impressions of all the time, it doesn't seem as legit.
It's just everything's handed to you.
Yeah, it's done. It's all done.
But that's what more likely, more often than not, it seems that's what wins the major awards.
Yeah, well, Hollywood is a cesspool. Everybody knows it, so you shouldn't get upset about anything that happens in Hollywood. It's a joke.
True.
Are you with me on that too,
yeah.
Mama?
Mama
Jones and I are syncing up here.
I
tonight.
Don't
love it.
I don't.
Hates the Beatles and Hollywood.
Yeah. You guys have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
A lot in common.
See?
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. A smart woman sitting next to me right now.
All right, so we've got a big solo coming up, correct?
Or yeah, he's about to melt your face off, after which I'll put it into context. But yeah, this is, like I said, this came out shortly before Hendrix's death. But again, like we talked about before, they were aware of each other in real time. And mm-hmm. it didn't take years for the influence to sit in or them to be aware of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Hendrix was on record as saying Terry Kath was his favorite guitarist in that last few months of his life.
Wow. All right.
The thing that strikes me right away is that it's not an overdriven sound. So
I was gonna say
there's not that much sustain on the notes.
No,
which would make it very difficult to play.
Yes, it's very. He's again going back to comparison to a country guitar player. It's like you have to have your technique down. All those guys, even to this day, even you could even go into the pop country realm. You may not like it. It's sanitized, it's pandering to the max, whatever. You don't get on a country recording or play in a country band unless you're top-tier musician.
Yeah.
And that's always been the case. Mm-hmm. Like these bluegrass bands, like kids growing up playing that stuff, they're shredding on ukuleles, violins, anything. They're just going crazy on them.
Like Marty Stewart and those guys.
You got to have your technique down and not relying, not that Hendrix was certainly not saying he was a lesser guitar player, but he was a guy who embraced massive volume.
Mm-hmm.
Letting the amps do the work for him. That's not what you're hearing here. So,
I was going to say it's a very unforgiving tone. If you're going to be, if you're making a mistake,
right,
you're going to hear it.
And there are some mistakes in there, but he's just letting it rip. And there's probably the modern guitar nerds are like, "Oh, that sucks. Listen to all those out of tune bends and mistakes." And it's like, "Yeah, okay."
Mm-hmm.
Go listen to Chris Impellitteri, who just plays like a robot and just has no personality to his playing.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
Is he a solo person?
He's like a solo shredder in the 80s. I remember his instructional tape going at Guitar Center when I worked there. You should see this guy. He just sits there staring at the camera.
And just going crazy.
Shredding like completely effortlessly, and it's just like, okay, there's no personality to it. There's no danger to it,
Mm-hmm.
This, you get the sense that he's just letting rip, and it was a one-take thing. And
that's whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have done other takes, and they took this one, but it's not, I don't think they punched it all together. I think it was one flowing solo, probably. But the thing about... So this came out early 1970, right?
Yeah.
So the first guy I ever was aware of who played, like, really fast, shredding guitar was Alvin Lee of 10 Years After. If you watch the first Woodstock movie, that the I'm Going Home song, he's the first guy. I can't think of a guy who was before him who was playing, like, really fast, kind of proto shred guitar player like that. And Terry Kath was the second guy to come along and put out a solo like this, because Hendrix was the guitar god of the time, but he never, I mean, he had a few bits here and there where he would, you know, cut loose with some really fast playing, but it wasn't like this prolonged, you know, shreddy guitar playing that Alvin Lee and Terry Kath did. So it was pretty revolutionary. I think that's what attracted him to it. Because he would, you know, he would milk notes and get the feedback and all stuff. He was definitely a song oriented guy, but yeah, if you've never seen it or you haven't been in a while, watch the Woodstock 69 documentary and the I'm Going Home by 10 Years After. That's to me the first example of, like, what would become shred stun guitar that you know, was like the, and then Jimmy Page came along with Zeppelin and started doing it. And so to me, Alvin Lee was the first to be captured on film doing that.
No idea. All right, let's keep going.
See, we're heaping all this praise on the guitar playing. Once Cetera re-enters the mix, we got Mama Jones responding to it. All that talk about guitar players, she's just like, when is Peter coming back into the mix with the voice that causes aunties to come storming towards the front of the stage? And
you know, I have to say, though, the it's very nice bass playing, though. If you, I did focus in on it.
The guy was absolutely legit as a vocalist and a bass player. He had a great look going on, and then somewhere in the 70s,
he got huge success.
All right, so I just learned that Peter Cetera's playing bass. I had no idea.
Yeah, he was the
bass player. I thought he was just a lead vocalist.
No, he was the bass player.
Wow. Okay, I did not know that.
He's holding it down.
He is. He's legit. Absolutely legit. And then something happened along the 70s. I don't know.
So when he
car
was...
accident, the shards of the windshield cut his balls off. I don't know.
His balls off. Did he, at shows, like, let's say later period when he was like, you said he was in both doing his solo thing and still in Chicago. Do you think he put the bass down and was just singing?
He might have on the ballads, I think. But I think up to the end, he still had a bass on.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you want to be sitting at the piano if you're the star of the show, playing those kinds of songs.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was, but...
Hard Habit to Break. Is that another one that you like, Mrs. Mama Jones?
I don't know. Sing it for me.
I'm not going to sing that. I'll lose my own balls will shrink to the size of raisins. But that's the thing. That's not a Cetera lead vocal, but he was still in the band. His influence was spilling into it. They just became a ballad band of the 80s. Just in no way, shape, or form retained the edge of what we're listening to today.
Would you say that it's, because I think there are two guys I think of that are kind of like that, where they were part of these very successful bands, but they kind of like shot off and did their big solo thing, and that's Dennis DeYoung.
Mm-hmm.
Well, would you say that that's a similar situation?
Was he as popular as a solo artist?
Probably not as much as Cetera. Yeah.
Oh, no,
but,
no.
But I'm just saying that where they were like, they kind of became the guys who were, when the band was like, you know, very commercial, they were the guys that were the standouts.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you could say that about Steve Perry with Journey, same thing. Kevin Cronin of REO Speedwagon, same thing.
He did some solo stuff too, Kevin.
Not solo stuff, but he's either credited or blamed, depending on who you ask, about how they became less of a hard, edgy rock band into the album oriented rock. You know, ballad band selling millions of albums with that stuff. You know, can't fight this feeling.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. What was that? Oh man, was that O'Cherry or O'Sherry?
Yeah, his solo.
Yeah. Same friend who was into the Peter Cetera solo stuff was all about that song too. So
yeah,
there's a theme here.
Yeah.
There you go. What that theme is. Chris told us earlier.
Well, we know what the theme is. just don't have to dance around that.
All right, we got a little bit more to go. Let's keep going here.
I love that last time through they don't come up with anything to rhyme with it. They just say 25 or 6 to 4 twice.
Yeah.
Talk about writer's block. It's like, I can't think of a line to rhyme with it. Let's just say it twice. Get this shit over with.
Yeah. No one's listening. The end.
Yeah.
Fading it out.
Yeah. Who would have guessed a song about writer's block would have become a classic rock staple to this day, 50 years later, 55 years later at this point.
Wow, yeah.
And I'm surprised that Andy's not bringing this comparison up, so I'm going to do it. There's another song, and he'll probably guess it, but about staying up for a prolonged period of time and trying to write a song, basically on when you're running on fumes at that point, and that's a song called Caffeine.
Oh.
By Faith No More.
There you go. That's true.
So similar sort of, I don't know if the lyrical content is the same as this, but it's making me think of that, where it's like you're blurry-eyed and exhausted, and but you're not going to give up until you finish writing something.
You got to turn something in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, you're right. And then the song before it, Land of Sunshine, is all like weird. The lyrics aren't really from anything. It's like stuff from televangelists or infomercials all mixed together, because that's...
Oh, just sitting there with a notepad, probably.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
The other approach, just stealing things that you're listening to. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to use that. So, all right.
Wasn't that kind of... I've read an interview with David Lee Roth where he basically... said that he did that, where he would just kind of keep his ears open in public situations.
He would use cool lines, though.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the Land of Sunshine is probably from like a 1 hour flipping through TV and just combining a bunch of crap together.
But I guess it's about being when you're being perceptive and what you're being perceptive you're using it.
Your favorite Mean Red song, Gasoline, the line "Police say use it," that was on the wall of the L. It was for the ads for the club back in the day. Steering wheel lock.
Yeah, that's right.
Said, you know, there's every time you go to the L, be right across while you're waiting, you're staring at that wall, and it's the ad for the club, and there's a cop holding the club, and it just said, "Police say use it." And that's where I came, that's where I turned that into lyrics.
And it comes down to perception.
Yeah.
And
picking up on stuff and. Yeah, that's exactly right. So,
all right, a little bit more to go.
Hey,
Yeah.
Love that ending.
Oh, yeah.
A big ending. It's like a TV big, show. Big theme ending.
Yeah.
Cop show. But Adam 12 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, very... Not something that you'd predict would be the note choices. So that's always cool.
It's fun.
Oh yeah, definitely musically sophisticated. Yeah. These guys, no question about that. It's just not prog to me at all.
Well, Nick, you brought this to the show, so your turn to vote. Sweet Surrender, a kick in the crotch.
Sweet Surrender.
Mm. It's Sweet Surrender.
I would say, as far as Chicago songs go that get stuck in my head from time to time, this is probably number two.
And I'd say, what's number one?
Number one is, does anybody really know what time it is?
Mm.
If I hear that song, it's in my head for like a day or two, and I'm walking around singing the lyrics to myself. I don't know, but and I don't know who sings that one. That's not Cetera.
It's not Cetera.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, this is a classic for a reason. It's a great song. What pops into my head is it's one of those songs that's regarded as such a classic from this time period that I want to say it was a Loop 93.9 commercial. As soon as I hear that opening riff, I think of a television commercial where they play, you know, advertising the radio station, and they play snippets of typical songs that you're going to hear on there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was 93.9, whichever station it was, though. But that's what pops in my head, is that it's such a typical, a song that revered, and it's used alongside, like, I don't know, Sunshine of Your Love, the aforementioned Sunshine of Your Love,
mm-hmm.
and songs like that. So it reached that status, and I think for good reason. There's a lot of great stuff going on. Everything sounds great, and it's a... I don't want to harp too much on this. I know that you can find many YouTube videos where they talk about this, and with AI coming in, you know, it's even more of a hot topic. But this is, you can tell, a performance. Like, they may have cut some tape to edit here and there, or punch something in. But yeah, I mean, you're hearing a band playing.
Oh yeah, no question about it.
What's that song that you said that you sing all the time? Does anybody know what time it is?
Yeah,
Jackie says it's in an Amazon commercial now.
Oh really?
So there you go. It's gonna ruin your life.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to avoid that.
Yeah.
You're not a fan of Amazon?
No, I'm just saying. The
whole big business thing.
No, just that it's probably going to be on constantly, and Nick said every time he hears it, it's stuck in his head for days.
Oh, so. Yeah, quite a backlog.
So his summer is going to be ruined.
I wonder if they sold their song catalog like so many other artists of the day, like, that time period are doing.
Like everyone but Fogerty, he bought his.
Yeah, he's the only one.
Finally acquired his own songs.
Chris, well, wait, which Chris? Chris L first? Chris L.
All right, Sweet Surrender for sure.
It's Sweet Surrender! Hell yes!
I mean, back when Cetera had a set on him, and proto shred guitar, Terry Kath, killer drumming, and guys just wailing on the snare drum and the kick drum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just, you know. People who aren't musicians don't necessarily pick up on that, but if the drumming was like half as much energy, I don't think the song would have gotten as much legs as it does. I think it's one of those elements that musicians pick up on, non-musicians don't, but if it wasn't there, they wouldn't gravitate to the song as much.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And just, you know, killer playing, like Nick said, you just get a sense as if they were just performing it there in the studio and let it run through and maybe cleaned a few things up here and there, but wasn't pieced together or anything. There's nothing artificial sounding about it. So good stuff for sure.
All right. Mom, do you want to vote?
The sweetest of
surrender. Oh, boy.
It's Sweet Surrender.
How about why? You love it? Is this one of your favorites? Or at least one you enjoy?
Yes, very much.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, Nick did a good job picking.
Okay. Is this one that you remember from when it came out? Like, was this a song that you were... Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, you got the... Because you got this album when it came out, probably, right? The second one?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this would have been hot and current.
Yes.
All right. Well, ooh, I have to vote. I'm giving it a Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender!
Hell yes!
Gotta say something. I'm probably gonna get something thrown at my head from that side of the room. I don't like a lot of Chicago's music for some reason.
Bless you.
I don't know why. Something about this. Okay, you're not mad at me.
No.
I'm a little bit mad.
No, not you're, at all.
You're uh-huh. a little mad.
No,
you're gonna
not.
Make me walk home.
No. I don't know that.
Gonna get a spanking.
Yeah.
I don't know that guys like all that stuff.
Well, I don't know that guys
Except
like whatever
that one
I like
guy
either.
That
but
you said.
Yeah, that one fella. but yeah, this is one.
I don't know.
I really enjoyed listening to here more than I ever have any other time I've heard it.
Well,
to focus
it's
on it, and
allergy
pay
season.
Attention, and
yeah.
Pretty much what Chris said. Just the drumming was the standout to me for whatever reason, because I don't think I noticed it as clearly any other time I've heard it. Like whether it was on the radio or in a store or whatever, you know, background on a TV show. Amazon commercial, what have you. But yeah, sitting here, Chris is right. There's a lot going on as far as a lot of fire in the drumming. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what stood out to me. And guess what time? Did you guys know? Did you ever guess we'd find ourselves here?
All right, Hammond! I got a question for you.
Paul Stanley. Trying to figure out what to do.
Probably was listening to this.
I'm sure.
Because Wicked Lester was ambitious musically.
Yeah.
Lots of instruments. They kind of threw out a kitchen sink mentality at everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at whoever, because the album never got released. But so I'm sure those guys were listening to this and thinking, like, is this what we should be doing?
Yeah. Hmm.
And while we're thinking it over, mm-hmm. there is one song in particular. We were talking about the horn section, and I don't think it. I don't know who it is playing on it, but there is one song that's not a Chicago song where, to me, the horns sound like it could be the guys from Chicago.
Mm.
And I. It's this is the truth. I'm not just saying it to mention this band like I always do. How Does It Feel by Slade? There's a section that happens about two or three times in the song.
Sounds like
and
Chicago.
Once it kicks in, the horns sound just like a Chicago horn section.
Hmm.
That's the only other song I could
think
of.
It's them.
I would doubt it, but I, you know, I'm gonna look it up.
Well, you never know. It's possible.
But again, that influence could have spilled over, and they found some guys who sounded like them or were inspired to have that sound in the horn section.
Whoever produced it got it sonically to come out that way.
Jackie was taking a guess here on the Patreon live chat, and she said Vehicle by Ides of March. She thought that's where you were going with it.
Oh, yeah.
Does that horn section remind you of Chicago? And are there any of the same guys? Because they're also...
I don't know.
They're from the same Berwyn area, or whatever. Yeah.
Well, for the Slade song, it says there's a British group called Gonzales, and that was the brass section.
Mm. Gonzales.
Yeah.
Good name.
Good
name
know.
For a British group.
Not a group I've ever heard of. No idea. Yeah. But, I don't know. I'm guessing Chicago was a reference point for at least the producers.
Yeah.
We have a horn section. Okay.
Do it like this.
Like, this is how we want it to sound. Yeah. It's gotta be.
All right, let's all get our votes in. It has to be unanimous. What's the order? The same order we just did?
Yeah.
Yeah, that works. My vote's in.
Mine's in.
All right, so Nick.
I'll start it
Chris
off.
Al, Mom, Andrew.
So I'm going to give it a rock.
And
roll.
Boner.
Oh, my goodness. It's a classic. There's no denying.
Yes, I mean, come on.
So even though you don't really care for it, Andy, because it's a classic?
It's a classic, and this is my favorite of the songs by them, and it deserves the distinction, I guess.
Okay.
I would just be behaving like a snot if I didn't give it that. Because I don't hate it. So that's another thing where we've come across certain songs that many would argue would be a classic, but maybe one of us has a grudge against it for some reason. That's valid, but I think, like, in this case where I like it, not my favorite band, no, it's a huge song, it's a classic, everybody here's loving it, I can't say no.
Yeah.
It's not my place to do that, just to do it. I'm not doing that. So if you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Deal with it.
Well, is this your favorite Chicago song, Nick, or do you have one?
No, I was saying earlier, it's Does Anybody Know What Time It Is?
Oh, that's
yeah,
okay.
That one, for whatever reason.
That's your number one.
Yeah, that's the one I go to. Mm-hmm.
Make Me Smile is my
that's
favorite.
That's up there, too.
Incredible vocal on that one.
I like Picnic Basket. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. So are we going to get into what's in the cooler before?
I think we need to do that before I pass out here from my sneezing attack.
Yeah, let's find out what's in there.
Fargus.
Yeah, who's that
what
guy?
Is that? What is that name?
What is that? Isn't that something
know.
Jay one time took somewhere to maybe a concert, and somebody
a friend
put,
of his was
somebody
this
put
guy?
That on there, and we never took
oh,
it
we
off.
Oh, we never knew who.
A friend
was.
Of his had his own stickers.
I don't know why Justin.
This is mine now. Maybe he stole it from Justin Fargus.
No, I don't know.
I'm going
I don't
with
remember.
That.
It's like property of
I don't
Justin
exactly
Fargus.
Okay, so that one time I brought. Didn't I bring Mexican that one time?
Yes,
you did. Yeah. You brought me like 6 pounds of barbacoa yeah. or something.
Well, I didn't know what to bring, and I didn't cook it. So
I hope it's raw meat.
And your guys are getting frozen pierogi.
Oh, hey.
That's fantastic.
That's okay. Good.
2 dozen each.
Wow, jeez.
So I've got, you're going to have to kind of pick. I think I've got, let's see, 2 potato. Wait a minute.
So there's some kraut and mushroom.
Oh, no. Did you get a potato and cheese?
I did.
Okay, so I
there's
got
a meat.
3 potato and cheese. There's
okay, so there's one for you.
No, thank you.
Is that a meat?
This is the kraut and mushroom.
Oh, then there's
I'll take
one,
that. Nobody else wants
one
it.
One sweet cheese.
I'll
and
take
then,
the sweet cheese if no
okay.
one wants it.
And then
Andy, you like sweet cheese?
I'll take whatever's left over.
You
at
sure?
The end. Yeah.
I love this logo. First of all, you've got Tata's as the manufacturer. The name is on a rolling pin.
And you know that's what I called my father.
Yeah, I know. It's
oh, you
the
know
Serbs
that?
Do something
oh,
similar.
Okay.
Also a euphemism for women's breasts, which
that's not your favorite because I heard what a couple weeks ago.
No, Jugs is my favorite.
Right.
Yeah,
well, Jugs
Tata's is up there. You didn't hear when I said
that.
I said we were talking about knockers, right?
Yeah,
and you
I said I'm
Jugs,
a Jugs
okay.
guy.
Okay. What did you get, Nick?
I got a sweet cheese.
But it says
and a potato.
Yeah,
there's a circle, so you got the rolling pin with a couple pierogi in the middle, and around the circle it says pierogi. Polish comfort food. So
yeah, where's your other dozen?
He's got it.
No, Chris.
I didn't get a second.
Oh, then it's.
But
this
wait a
one.
Minute.
It's
but where's Andy's?
I have one right here.
Okay,
he's got
so
potato and cheese.
So this would be Chris's then.
Okay,
the
then
Andy.
Yeah.
Andy's getting meat.
Yeah, Andy will get the meat.
It simply says meat.
And what did you get? Potato and cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So then you get a
meat.
Pierogi.
It's whatever.
Like goat meat.
Goat meat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah
goat. You don't know what
look
it
that.
Is. Right
all
there.
Natural meat.
So potato. How are
thank
you gonna
you.
Fix yours, or how do you think your wife will?
Say what?
How will you fix those?
Oh, I'll let her do it.
Okay.
Like,
because just a suggestion, it's up to you. But when we used to eat these, well, my grandma did it with cabbage and mushroom. She would saute onion Put it over there.
Can't go wrong with onion. Onion makes everything better.
Right? Right. So, anyway.
So you're with me on that, too, Mama Jones?
Yes.
So we got Beatles, Hollywood, and onions. They're totally in sync. I love it.
Right, right. Yep.
Thank you for those.
Beatles and Hollywood suck. Onions are awesome.
That's right. That's it. Got it.
Oh, there's a new t-shirt to put on our TeePublic site.
I think it should be. Yes.
Been a while.
We haven't done it. Yeah, in like a year. What was the last one? The Adventures in Baby Oil?
No, the Hut Fucks.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody
knows. I like this one.
This one's got legs.
It's got potential.
Yeah. Beatles and Hollywood suck. Onions are awesome. I might actually buy that.
Yeah.
And you put a little dash.
It's a conversation starter, no question about it.
At the bottom, you can put a dash and just say people named Chris.
It's true. Yeah. various Chris's.
Said by people named Chris.
Yep. In agreement. Well, thank you, Mom, so much.
You're welcome.
Happy Mother's Day. Man.
My other idea was to, well, I looked up foods that popes liked, and I thought if we did, you know, if we did that segment, but I forgot we were.
Well, there are some dickheads out there who hate the segment, so.
I think Andy hits the music. I don't know.
You got something?
Well, I think.
Okay, if we've got something.
Do you have something?
For what?
For Pope stuff?
Well, I looked up this one Pope that liked.
Well, you got some information there. Should Andy hit the music?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Well, what the hell?
Abe Moose Papa.
Time for Pope stuff.
See, she loves it.
I like
normal people love this segment.
And the back, Pope stuff.
Time for Pope stuff.
Tell us.
Let it rip. What do you got?
Okay, so. Oh my gosh, what happened to him?
Oh, Jesus. Here we go.
I don't think the Pope likes anything.
I lost it.
He was too busy singing along to the theme
song.
It's hard not to do.
It is hard.
Where's Pope Martin here?
Pope Martin.
Pope Martin.
Yeah, Pope Martin.
Martin Lawrence.
Okay, here it is. Martin Lawrence. Martin the Fourth is one of the first in a long and storied line of unbelievably gluttonous popes.
Oh,
wow.
Dante placed him in purgatory, citing his passion for eels from Lake Bolsena, cooked in vernaccia wine. I don't know if that's how you say it.
There's always a word or two you can't pronounce.
This became the go-to punchline for the pontiff all the way up to the 19th century when Tomasco made up a little epitaph for Martin in his documentary on Dante. The eels are happy because here lies dead he who, as if he were guilty of murder, had them flayed. He died of indigestion.
Jeez, the eels are happy because this fat pig is dead.
That's right.
Wow.
Sounds like
so. Anyway, I chose pierogi instead of eels.
Thank you.
Do they have eel pierogis?
I don't know.
I wouldn't doubt.
Let's see the ingredients on the meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First eel ingredient.
Yeah, meat is pretty broad.
First it's packed ingredient. With eel meat.
Eel meat.
Andy's checking.
Yep, eel.
Although eel unagi, some of my favorite sushi. It's damn tasty.
Yeah, and then we were talking about that earlier. How interesting that.
Oh yeah, you were
that,
saying
that. There's this creepy, ugly, squirmy creature.
Well, I'm sitting right here. Nick.
Oh no. Jeez.
Well, and this may apply to you also.
I can hear you in the headphones, Nick. Well, in case you were wondering.
This may also apply then.
Talks about
but
me
then,
in my own house.
But then God said, "Let's make the meat delicious." Hmm. This really creepy looking.
So you like
creature.
Eel meat too, Nick?
No, but I'm.
Would you try?
I understand that it's delicious.
Would you eat it?
Well,
I guess if it's prepared a certain way.
A certain way, like what?
I don't know. I mean, onion. I don't think I'm doing sushi. Yeah, I think it's sauteed. It's cooked.
You don't. In general, you don't like seafood.
No, not usually.
That's true.
I'm telling you, it's damn good. I, and I don't think since my first, when I was caught in a lie at my first sushi experience with my girlfriend, now wife, I don't think there's been a time when I haven't had unagi when I've been in a sushi restaurant.
Now, that does have eel in it?
Oh, it is eel, wrapped in the white rice, but it's also, they also put it in a sauce. It's very, very flavorful. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good.
Mm. All right, well, there you go.
Eel pierogi needs to hit the streets.
Don't give Nick any ideas. I'll show up next
week. Don't give me any eels either.
Like an eel chocolate bar.
That's good.
Eel butter.
I think my favorite part about the segment that she read about Pope stuff is that even back in the 18th and 19th century, they had go-to punchlines for people.
Yeah.
Just the accepted zinger to destroy somebody verbally. They probably should have had like a roast like they just had for Tom Brady.
I was going to say, they had no problem putting down a dead person either.
The Pope Martin roast. That's like in Amazon Women on the Moon, the sequel to Kentucky Fried Movie. They roast a dead guy in that one scene.
Oh, really?
He's sitting there in the casket and they're just roasting him. Hilarious. You ever seen any of those movies, you guys?
I've seen some of Kentucky Fried Movie. I don't know the other one.
Yeah, the second one, Amazon Women on the Moon, I think is actually better, believe it or not. But just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean,
vignettes.
Yeah, it's all vignettes. Yeah, from what I remember.
Good stuff, though. I recommend it.
Anybody noteworthy in those or not?
Henry Silva. He does the bullshit or not segment. Okay. I'm trying to think. David Ogden Stier, not Dave, that's Winchester on MASH. Who was the guy from In Living Color?
David Alan Greer.
Yeah, he's like the, I think I want to say he's like the white black guy or something like this, black singer who's just completely like Oreo'd out and stuff. Wow, he was a fat man.
Well, you like his eel sautéed in wine.
My.
And apparently there's a long string of gluttonous popes. Who knew that, you know?
Really?
It kind of makes sense.
It
makes sense to me when, you know, you become the top dog, basically, on Earth. You're going
to
become a pig.
Don't you have shit to do? Then you can't be eating all day? Or you just delegate that all out?
Bring that to me while I do my shit over here.
Bad example?
Of course, but people are corrupted when they get power.
Fasting is a big thing.
Not for Mart?
Apparently not.
It should be, but I'm just saying anyone who becomes...
Yeah, that's a good point.
...in such a high position.
See, you don't get this kind of historical information discussion without the Pope stuff segment. That's why people love it.
Pope stuff.
Discerning people love it. Idiots hate it.
Idiots hate it. That's a good thing. We should say that about the show.
That's another t-shirt. Idiots hate it. There's no
not
other
even me, not hate me, just hate it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we did it. Thank you, Mom, and happy Mother's Day.
I enjoyed it. I had a good time. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, it is May. It is Stroke Awareness Month, so here you go. We'll be back next week.
And that's when stroke was a stroke. And drooling was drooling. Motor skills meant everything. I lost mine and I was not improving. Collapsing to the floor. Trembling hands were happening, baby. Outside my house, an ambulance. My farts were involuntary. Say yeah, yeah, yeah.